Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Chronicles of Our Favorite Woman. My name is Puchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I want to thank you all for having a wonderful, 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 I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving for 2022. My goodness, the year is about to go out. But, you know, I do not start off the show without going into prayer, so let's just go to his throne. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for being my Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for being my provider. Thank you for being my Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals beyond all understanding. I thank you for those who are tuning in tonight, whether it's live or whether it's through the replay. I thank you for the guests that I have on tonight. Talk about a testimony. I am so excited to be here tonight, and I'm so excited that you have allowed me to be a vessel to share stories, the stories that will help encourage one another, let people know that you are not alone. You have Jesus, and then you have people that have endured. And if they have endured to create that, go through that test, they are here to share the testimony. So I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to use me as a vessel. And as I'm being used, Lord, I am submitting myself. I am submitting Puchina right now to your throne of grace. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in. I ask you to come in to lay and slay and to dominate and saturate all those who are designed to hear this story tonight. I thank you. Special thank you for my guest tonight, who is a true testimony. And when I say beauty is her name, beauty is her name. I thank you for using her as a vessel, as an open and spoken and vocal vessel for what she fights for. And as we move forward tonight, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So with that being said, as people are coming into the room, I welcome you, I welcome you, I welcome you. When I met this young lady, we actually have a mutual family member in common. And when I found out about her testimony, it was just phenomenal to me. But when I got an opportunity to hear her testimony, it was even better. Hey, Tracy, how you doing? It was even better. And I just want to say, I'm not going to give away too much. I'm just going to say that I can't wait to get her on. So with that being said, I just want to talk about what the subject is tonight. The subject tonight is being a survivor. Consistency leads to breakthrough. Okay? Please know that. Consistency leads to breakthrough. And what I love is the fighter in her. And that she's a spitfire. That's what I love about her, too. the fighter that's in her. But we're going to be talking about breast cancer tonight. And breast cancer breast cancer facts and statistics from breastcancer.org. And it says breast cancer is the currently most common cancer globally, accounting for 12.5% of all new annual cancer cases worldwide. Whew. Here's American Cancer Society. I gave some statistics as well as far as breast cancer in the United States for 2022. It is about 13%, about one in eight of U.S. women are going to develop invasive breast cancer in the course of their lives. You know, coming from a background of knowing survivors of this situation, it is so interesting to me. I know quite a few cancer survivors, whether it's breast, prostate, or colon, it's the fight in them. It's really the fight in them is what I love. I see you, Tatiana, what I love most. And this particular young lady is no different. And when I tell you, she is a force to be reckoned with, she is a force to be reckoned with. So I'm going to present to some. I will introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Dee DeWeese. Thank you for joining me tonight on Chronicles. I am so happy to have you here. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am blessed and highly favored and truly excited. I have been waiting for this I've been waiting for this. And I just want to start off with three questions. We're going to go right into it. So I let people know, if you know anyone that could benefit from this show tonight, please, please, please share, whether they catch replay or whether they catch the live, just share. I'm looking forward to having people come in. You're more than welcome to leave comments and stuff. If I don't get to you, please forgive me. Charge my head, not my heart. But I just let the spirit lead. So with that being said, Miss D, I need to know three things. Who you are, what do you do, and why do you love doing what you do?
Okay, first of all, my name is Dee Deweese, but I could be known as Grandma, Mimi, Sister, Aunt, Cousin, all the above. I wear the hats for all of them. I love what I do because it empowers other women. You know, breast cancer is not something that we take lightly. There's no history of breast cancer in my family that I know of. That's why I was so surprised when I developed breast cancer. That being said, breast cancer doesn't have a known person. You know, it happens. And I thank God that he allowed me to get breast cancer so I could share the journey, so I could share it with other women as well as men, because men get breast cancer also. So not one time did I ever say, you know, why me? I said, Lord, you know, you chose me, because I found out in November, and November is the month of revelation, as well as restoration. So God revealed it to me, and he healed me. But let's go back to 2016, January 24th. I had mammograms and ultrasounds every 6 months, January 2016, August 24th, 2016. And when my result came back in August, my doctor noticed that there was a denseness in my breast, because I had big breasts and it was dense, so the radiologist suggested a biopsy just to make sure there was nothing wrong. And so we did that. My gynecologist said, okay, we did that. I developed a hematoma. A hematoma is blood that pools, you know, in a certain spot, and normally it reabsorbs itself in the body, but for some reason mine just did not. So 2017, January, when I went for the mammogram ultrasound, the hematoma was still there. So, of course, I'm asking my doctor, well, why do I still have a hematoma, you know, a year later? And she says, well, it's nothing to be concerned about. It'll go away on its own. You know, we'll just keep an eye on it. Okay. So then August 2017, I had mammogram again, ultrasound. Hematoma still there, so I'm thinking, okay, now. And then my breast started itching really bad, and I'm like, why is my breast itching? And it itched so intensely that I would almost dig in, because that is how bad it was. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? But, of course, when I mentioned it to my gynecologist, and she was like, well, you know, we'll just keep an eye on it. Because her thing was, as long as the nipples aren't itching, but it wasn't the nipple, it was like inside. So I said, okay. And so and I got a job at another hospital part-time, and I had the opportunity to take care of one of the doctors. And as I was drawing his blood, I was unconsciously digging and digging, and he was like, what's the matter? And I said, well, my breast itches so bad. He said, get a mammogram. I said, I already had one. He said, get another one. I said, I just had one in August. He said, get another one. And this is in October. So I said, okay. So he said, when you leave here, go get one. So I went, when I left there, I went to my doctor's office, because I walked across the street, and I asked her, and she says, well, you just had one, and everything was fine. I'll see you in 6 months. So I'm like, well, I want another one. And we went back and forth for almost 2 weeks, because she's just like, well, you just had one. I'm like, okay, but I want another one. And I told her, you know, what I was told, and she says, well, we'll just watch it. But anyway, I ended up getting the order for the mammogram, I think it was like October the 23rd. On the 25th, I got a call from the doctor's office. You know, she wasn't there, but the unit secretary says to me, the doctor told me to tell you everything is fine, and she'll see you in 6 months. Well, now I'm kind of ticked off, because not even the nurse telling me this is a unit secretary. Bad enough the doctor didn't tell me, you know, so I said, okay, fine.
Exactly.
So, and you've got to be consistent, you know, when it comes to your health. And so I went back to my office. I called my insurance company, and I asked them, can I get another opinion to second opinion, you know, without a referral. She said, sure. So then I called the breast place, and this, like I said, this was October 25th. And she said, well, the earliest thing that we have is November the 3rd. I said, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what I did. So I went down to medical records. I retrieved all of my records, all the CDs from January 2016 up until that last mammogram, which was in October 2017. Got all of my records, and then November 3rd, I went to the doctor's office, and my appointment was at 10 o'clock. Sitting there, you know, looking around, and it's like, you know, this is going to be a piece of cake. So the doctor calls me in, and we go in the back, and she said, because I had sent all my paperwork stuff over to her prior, so she had all the records. She says, are you sure this is yours? I'm like, oh, yes, my name's on it. She says, well, you know what? Let's do an ultrasound in the office. You know, let's just do an ultrasound. And she did, and she told her medical assistant, she said, can you ask my two other patients, do they mind seeing someone else or rescheduling because I have an emergency? And I'm thinking, what kind of emergency does she have? So then she comes back and she says, you know what? She said, we're going to do a biopsy in the office. I'm like, what? Yeah, she said, yeah. She said, now, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt because I can't numb you up like I want to, but we're going to do it in the office. And so she did it, and it hurt, and it's like she said it would. And it bled so much because I was there from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. And she said to me, she said, I'm going to send this down to Roper, you know. And, you know, she said, I want you to go home. Don't look on the Internet. Don't call nobody. Don't talk to nobody. When I get a bottle of wine or something, just do it. But and wait for me to call you tomorrow. He says, but I can tell you right now, you do have cancer. You have breast cancer, and that's all I heard, nothing else. When you hear the word cancer, there's two things you think about. Am I going to die? That's the first thing you hear. You know, you ask, am I going to die? And how am I going to tell my family that I'm going to die? That's all you think about. You don't think about nothing else. So I left there, and I went home. And, I mean, I was just beside myself because, like she said, don't look at the Internet. Put your camera up yourself. You do it anyway. But I didn't tell anyone. I just kind of, you know, because I needed a chance to digest what you told me, you know. And so the next morning I got up and I got in my car and I was on the phone with my sister. I was driving down Dorchester Road and my phone rang. Well, of course, you know, unknown number. So what I don't answer. It goes to voicemail. So I listened to the voicemail and it was a doctor and she said, I'm Dee. This is Dr. Beatty. You know, she said, I'm at the office. I want you to come over, you know. And this was a Saturday morning. Now, what doctor does that? He said, I'm going to be waiting downstairs for you. So I said, okay. So I went over there, and when I got there, she was downstairs waiting on me, and she hugged me, and we went upstairs to her office, and she opens up her little ultrasound thing, or whatever it's called, and she's showing me. She goes back to 2016, and she says, you see this spot right here? And then she read the report, and she said, the report says suspicious mass at the 3 o'clock. So that should have raised a red flag for your doctor. So either she didn't read the report, you know, because that itself should have, and she says if you look back to August of 2017, it was right there. It's also in the report. And if you go back to 2017, it's 16 is there also. So I'm thinking, okay. So now I'm pissed off because I'm thinking, so this went on, and my doctor didn't even think enough to even look at it or talk to me about it. So, but the thing is, getting mad wasn't going to change the fact I still had breast cancer. So I said, okay. So she said, what do you want to do? I said, this is your area. What are we going to do? She said, okay. She says, we're going to do ultrasounds. We're going to do MRIs. The next 3 days, I want you to do this. And then the order she gave to me to do it in. And so, okay. So that's Sunday. I went to my daughter's house, I told her, and we prayed and we cried and, you know, but we knew that we would get through it. And like I said, you know, you've got to be vigilant so that after having the MRIs and the other stuff, I was sitting at my desk, and this is how I knew how real it was. So I'm sitting at my desk, and my cell phone rings, and it's a number I don't recognize, you know, so of course I don't answer again. Well, I called back, I checked him, and it was the oncologist. So I'm thinking, oh, my God. So robot oncologist. So now they set up appointments, you know, doctors talk to me, you have to have chemo, and that, I'm like, oh, my God. And that's how I knew it was real. You know, when, you know, you mentioned chemo, you know, so, but prior to that, December the 7th, I had a lumpectomy. And my doctor said, well, Dee, let's see what lumpectomy shows. You know, maybe we can just take, you know, take the lump lump out and we'll get it all. You'll be good to go. Well, of course, she did the lumpectomy. And when the results came back, she says, I'm sorry, Dee, but your breast is just full of cancer. You know, but because, you know, your breast was so large, it was actually contained, so it didn't spread in the lymph nodes. I go, okay, so now what are we going to do? So then after the chemo, she's like, well, we're going to do a mastectomy. And she said, and we did the BRCA test, and even though the BRCA test was negative, she did say, well, you know what? You could always get cancer again. So let's just, you know, she recommended a bilateral mastectomy. And I said to her, that's fine, because I don't want to go through this again. And when I started my chemo, the first chemo was a piece of cake. I mean, you know, I went in there, I had on makeup, I was, and my, you know, my makeup on, and I just looking good. And everybody that was in the office that day, they just looked like they were just sick. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, I you know, this is what it's going to be like for me every time I come. But a lot of people, I discovered that people brought them there and just left them there. They didn't stay with them. But luckily for me, my, you know, I had a group of people that stood behind me, and I had a friend that took me to every chemo, and she stayed there with me. And so the third one, I was standing in the mirror that morning, and I was brushing my hair, and my hair was coming out in clumps, and oh, my God, I screamed, and I cried, and I thought, oh, my God, I can't go through this. But, you know, I had to go for the chemo, so I went to chemo that day, and I endured it, and I told my friend, I said, listen, I want to go to the barbershop. I need to get my hair, I can't go through this watching it come out. So, of course, I go to the barbershop, and, you know, a bunch of guys in the barbershop, and you know how guys are. You're not going to take my spot. I've been sitting here for almost an hour. You know what gets in front of me, you know. And so the guy was like, you okay, ma'am? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, are you sure? And I just kind of had a meltdown. No, I'm not okay. I've got breast cancer. My hair's coming out. And I could have got an Academy Award for the way I carried on. So the guy was like, ma'am, you can go ahead and leave.
That was
like,
real.
Yeah.
But I was
like, ma'am, right. He said, you can go ahead and go ahead.
I'm going to take a moment. You said quite a bit, and I want to go back and unpack a couple things. Okay, you went for a regular mammogram, right, if I understand it correctly.
Yes.
You got
yes.
mammogram out that, according to the mammogram, there was nothing going on there. Okay?
Nothing.
So you told your doctor that, you know, you're still feeling, you know, irregular, you know, getting itching and stuff like
that. Still there.
Yeah. So, and then their response was, well, it'll be all right because the test report says opposite. You know, you're okay. And it wasn't
right.
until you saw someone else who happened to be a physician, you know, that you
right.
can't get that second opinion. This is where I will really want to pause right here. Okay, so I go to doctors and specialists too, and I tell people, I don't believe everything. If you tell me I'm okay and you tell me your test results say I'm okay, but I don't feel okay, I'm going to have to get another opinion. And I commend
exactly.
you. For doing that, because I know how it feels when you, I'm big breasted myself, you know, you rubbing, you know, you about to take it all out, you know, and then I commend you for getting that second opinion, and I just want to encourage other people as you're listening, you don't always have to go by what that doctor says. If you know your body better than anybody else, you need to go and take that second opinion, because they're humans, just like everybody else. They're human. So I commend you, number one, for doing that. Because you're right, it was but, you know, only by God. And the fact that you were consistent and persistent about making sure. And then as a result of doing that, you ended up finding out that the cancer was all, that you had cancer. And then it's been there the whole time. So my question is just that, how come my first dog didn't see that? Or what happened for her or him not to catch that, and I had to catch it with somebody else? So I just commend you for that. I really do, because not only you have to deal with that, then you have to deal with, you know, finding out that your breast was full of cancer. You know,
right.
You have to, it's interesting because you're right. And Yolanda said something really very important. Sometimes you have to be your own advocate because no one knows your body better than you.
Exactly. And
no,
I think Miss Yolanda, I thank Miss Yolanda because she actually she's Miss Cancer Warrior, you know, and she has encouraged me in more ways than you could possibly know. I commend her. I appreciate her, right? But like I was saying with the last chemo, because after the chemo you have to have Neulasta shots the day after, and that caused you to have severe body pain, and I mean it was awful. I wanted to die after that third chemo because that's just how bad it was. And I developed seromas, and what a seroma is my breast, the breast area was full up with fluid because I had when I came out the hospital, I had a wound vac, so I never had any pain because everything was inside the wound vac. And it was like a 10-day cycle, and once that was over, I developed seromas. And just like I said, there are pockets that fill up in the chest area with fluid. And I also had JP drains. So I remember the last time I went to the doctor, because I drove myself, and I felt so bad. I didn't know what to do with myself. And my doctor says, well, we needed to send you over to Trident Hospital to see what's going on. My blood sugar was almost 800, and that's because of the steroids in the chemo. And that, I'm like, oh my God. So now you have to deal, if you have diabetes, you got to deal with that, plus the chemo. I mean, it's just so much, you know. But you got to be consistent. You cannot miss your appointments. And if a doctor makes you sit in that room for 30 minutes and they come in there, well, don't let them walk out there in 5 minutes. You know, any request you have, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to write things down or just record. Ask them, can you record it? Because you won't be able to absorb everything that they're saying right then and there because it's just so much. So just ask them, you know, can I record you without showing your face? And it's just for me so I can go back and listen to everything that you've said and what steps we're going to take. And then there was a incident where when I was going through my chemo, I was walking through, going to the bathroom, and one of the ladies in the office was talking. She was talking to someone else, an older gentleman, and I heard the conversation. So I asked her, I said, well, tell me about this program that you were talking about. She was talking about a program that pays for chemo. And she said, oh, that doesn't apply to you. Yeah, it was a free program. She said, oh, well, that doesn't apply to you. I said, well, tell me about it anyway. And she kind of hem-hawed, like she really didn't want to tell me, you know, about the program. I said, well, just tell me about it anyway. If it's not for me, then that's fine because I have insurance. So she gave me the phone number. And what I did was I said, well, let's just call the number and check it before I leave to make sure the number worked. But she's like, let's just check the number. Then she said, well, try to put the number right here. She probably gave me a fake number. You know, but as it turned out, I did not pay for not one chemo, not one. Not a one. Right. It's like, okay, really? So, you know, information is powerful, you know. Yeah, I was like, well, why would you just, you know, not? And so I shared that information with other people, you know, that either they had insurance or not. I shared it with them, and a lot of them used the information, and they thanked me for it. You know, they're like, well, we didn't know that, because they don't tell you nothing. And God puts you in places for a reason, because as I was walking by, that's when I heard that conversation. And then I have a lot of people that ask me, well, you know, why would you decide not to get a reconstruction? Well, first, I can't handle anesthesia. I don't do well under anesthesia. And the doctor also told me, he's like, well, you know, you couldn't even come out of 2 hours. So why would I want to keep you under for 8 hours for a surgery reconstruction, you know? But my decision to stay flat was my decision. You know, I don't feel bad about it. Now, a lot of women do, you know, their femininity, they, you know, they balance it with their, you know, well, if I don't have breasts, you know, I'm not going to be sexy, or I'm not going to be a woman, or who's going to want me and all that. Well, you know what? Do you want? I mean, we didn't come in with breasts. We grew them. And I remember, you know, before I had my surgery, I remember I invited some friends over, and I didn't have a her shirt on, didn't have a bra on, and they were like, well, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, this is the final viewing. You know, I had to be funny to myself because I needed, you know, to encourage myself. Well, I mean, that's what it was, the final viewing. I wasn't going to see it after that. You know, and I have no problem with the decision that I made. Some people, you know, they can't live with that, you know, but for me, it was easy, you know, and the thing is, you could always get cancer again because you can get chest cancer. You know, my doctor said, you know, get cancer cells can come back in your chest. You know, so the decision to stay flat wasn't a hard one for me. But I encourage women and men.
I'm glad that it wasn't a hard one for you, and because most people are, some people, you know, everybody deals with it in their own way. But I mean, I just love the way how you consistency is a key to breakthrough. One of the things you were consistent on getting that second opinion. Another thing was, you know, you overheard the information about getting the financial aid or financial assistance for the chemo. So I definitely going to get back to that in just one second. But let me reset the room. This is Sakina Kirkendall. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And it has been one phenomenal night. I was looking forward to this one because this stuff is real. It's not just when you know, dealing with breast cancer or anything, but any type of health situation. Getting that second opinion and being consistent is very, very important. I am here with my beautiful, beautiful guest tonight, Ms. Dee DeWeese, and she is really laying some knowledge on us tonight. I know one of the things I do want to hit because I'm seeing some comments that's coming in about, you know, especially about that person who doesn't want to get the information. But if someone wants to get information about assistance with chemo, is there a website or something that they can go to?
Well, actually, and I just found the paperwork. It's called Patient Advocate Foundation. It's called Copay Relief, and the phone number, let's see, where's the phone number in here? And the phone number is 1-866-512-3861. It's called a Copay Relief Program.
I love that, and I will be sharing that at the end of this session tonight. When you go back and look at the replay, I'll be sharing this. I will put it on the Facebook on the comments, so I will get that back, get that information from you. I got some comments coming in. Treggy, loving, getting and demanding that second opinion. Mary Hall, that was beyond a mistake, and that's what these doctors do sometimes. Doctors have been known to dismiss the concerns of Black women. Very, very true, by telling us we have fatty tissue. Very, 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 very true. I know that from my personal experience. Yolanda, well, she actually just shared the information, which we did. So I will have that information towards the end of the show tonight or when you go back and listen to the replay. So with that being said, you know, you decided not to go and get further surgery, and that's the reconstruction surgery you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
It was a D-flap, but I decided I didn't want that.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but every now and then I got to get a break in it. So go ahead and finish.
Well, and then after all that was all said and done, I ended up getting prosthetic breasts, and I had to go all the way to Charlotte because South Carolina does not offer that anymore in South Carolina, prosthetic breasts. I ended up going to Nordstrom's and Charlotte. And, of course, you know, the insurance paid for it. The insurance paid for two sets of breasts. They pay for one that you could actually swim in. Then they pay for like 10 bras that you put, you insert the prosthetic breast inside. But it's just, it's so heavy. It's like really heavy, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. So, and even now, you know, I still have the itching, but I know now that it's not that because I don't have breasts anymore, I don't have to have mammograms, but I have to have PET scans to make sure, you know, that I'm clear. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, you have to take medicine, hormone medicine for like 5 years, you know, and people like to say, well, a year later, I can't cure. Well, no, it has to be 5 years that you're considered clear. Cancer's not come back. So after 5 years, then you're considered cancer-free after 5 years. But you take, and the medication that I take, it just makes my body, it hurts so bad. It gives you bone pain, and it's just, it's ridiculous. But I'm gonna be honest. I don't take it every day. I don't take it every week because it just makes me so painful. But I do take it. I just don't take it like I need to, like I'm supposed to. But I do take it.
Please put it on the chat. If you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, just lift your hands up and we can acknowledge it. But you're here with my guest, Ms. DeWeese, and we're talking about a survivor of breast cancer. But not only that, I think what really sticks out to me is when you go to your physicians and they just ignore signs that just should be obvious and just recommending people to follow up, and not just accept anything, especially when it contradicts what your body is contradicting what they are saying to you. So very, very important. So I have a question for you. You mentioned something about when you got that initial diagnosis. One of the things I heard you say is, you know, you was like, you know, you feel like you was facing death. And then how are you going to tell your family about this? And how important is support when you're going through this situation?
Okay, well, I have three grandchildren, and at the time I only had two. But when I looked at my oldest granddaughter, I thought to myself, you know what, there's no way in the world I cannot live to see her grow up. I mean, she was just such a inspiration for me. I'm like, I've got to be here for her. That's, you know, that's just it. I've got to. And then when my daughter, you know, my daughter is a nurse practitioner, and I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to tell my family this? And how am I going to tell? Because I only have the one daughter, and the fact that, you know, my daughter had lost her dad, you know, and it wasn't tragic, but you know, it was such a tremendous loss for her. And so it's like, okay, you've already lost one parent. You know, I've got to fight and make sure you know, this one, you know, I'm here for you. And so that was hard for me to tell her, but I know I had to do it. You know, and like I said, you have to do what you have to do. And as far as the support system, that is a must. You have to have a support system. And there are things that, you know, because a lot of times people don't want you to talk to them. They just want you to listen. And a couple of things that I learned from this journey is that as a cancer survivor, don't tell people, well, at least you're still living. Please quit telling people that. Because, yes, I am. I'm alive, but you don't know how I'm living. You don't know what I'm living with. So, you know, don't tell people, you know, or that I know how you feel. Because unless you've actually had cancer yourself, no, you do not know how I feel. You know, there are some things that you just, you know, sometimes people just want you to just listen to them. You know, if you want to read a book or whatever, but don't, and unless they ask you, don't ask them.
Uh-huh.
I remember coming out of the I was out of appointment one day, and I saw a young lady in the parking lot, and she just left the doctor's office. I didn't know what the doctor told her, but the look on her face told me that it wasn't good news. So I went up to her and I just hugged her. I didn't say not one word to her. I just hugged her, and her dam just broke open. She started crying, and she started telling me that, you know, I just got news that I have breast cancer, and you know, I'm going through. My husband and I are separated. And I just called him to tell him, you know, that, and he asked me, what do you want me to do? And, you know, but like I said, I didn't ask her anything. I just listened to her because at the time, that's what she needed. I never saw her after that, but I prayed for her all the time, kept her lifted up and prayed, you know, that whatever she was going through, you know, God just, you know, just take her through it. And I knew that God would have brought me through this because of all of my sisters. I say it all the time, I know that God chose me for this assignment because they could not have handled this assignment like I did. I know that for a fact. And like I told my daughter, I said, you know, you're the daughter, not the doctor. I need you to be daughter, not doctor, because, you know, my daughter, like, she told me, mama this, mama that, you know, and I appreciate her. You know, I love her for it. But, you know, I have a doctor. You're my daughter, not my doctor. But like I said, sometimes, you know, you have to be your own cheerleader. You know, how you feel, you know, how you don't feel. And I worked through a lot of pain. You know, people, you know, think that after the breast cancer, you know, after the chemo and after the cancer, you know, that you're okay. But sometimes you're not okay. You know, there are days when I struggle, you know, with, okay, postpartum, my cancer comes back. You know, and you're constantly worried about that. Every time something hurts longer than 3 days, I worry about it. Oh, my God, do I have cancer? You know, and that's normal. But, you know, but you don't claim it. You know, I don't
right.
claim it. I say, Lord, you know, whatever it is, it's going to, you know, it is. But I know, you know, that God chooses certain people for certain things. He knows who can handle
right.
what. And I thank God for entrusting me with the journey of breast cancer, because I know for a fact that just because you have breast cancer does not have you. You can get over it.
Yeah.
Some people heal on the other side. You know, we get that because we've lost a lot of, you know, of warriors that were in the breast cancer, in the cancer warrior pageant that I've been in. We've lost a lot, you know, but like I said, they healed on the other side, but that's God's plan. That was God's purpose. You know, we're here for a reason and not a season. You know, and I say it all the time, but women and as well as men get breast cancer also. And one of the things that I found out with my breast cancer journey is that a lot of times, you know, I felt bad, but then, like I said, I was dealing with someone at the time, and I would ask him, okay, how do you feel? Because, you know, it's not just you. If you have a partner, you've got to consider their feelings, what they're going through, how they're, even if they don't complain, it weighs on them. Because like I said, I know my daughter never once said it, but I know she worried constantly about, you know, is my mama going to die? What's going to happen to my grandchildren? You know, her grandchildren, what's going to happen to my, you know. And so she never said it. You know, my son-in-law, you know, I know he's a prayer warrior. He, you know, he kept me lifted up in prayer because that's what he does. Thank you, Sean. And my sisters and my brothers, you know, they were always there. I always had a support team, always. You know, when I needed stuff done, you know, I could call on them. And I'm not a needy person, so I really didn't call on them that much. But when I did, I knew I could count on them. And there are times when I didn't want to be bothered, and I made sure they knew that I don't want to be bothered, and they respected that, you know. You know, when people say something, yeah, you know, you've got to respect people, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you know, because people handle illness differently. Me, I don't do pain medicine. Plus, I'm not a complainer. Not one day did I ever say, oh, my God, woe is never. Mm-mm, didn't do it. I mean, as bad as I may have felt, you didn't know it because I didn't do that. Some people, you know, like the pity party. You know, no, you not do that. Because I need to be strong for me because, you know, you can't help you. You know, if you can't love us, you can't help yourself. And like Dr. Patty
right.
John Bell said, you know, we have got, you know, to be our own cheerleaders. We've got to make sure, advocate for ourselves because of such a disparity, you know, with black people and illnesses. And so, you know, we've just got to be our own, our own cheerleaders. We've got to encourage ourselves, you know, and we have to encourage each other. And there are times, like I said, I would go to chemo and I would see people there that people would bring them and just drop them off and they're there by themselves, you know. And that's such a sad sight, you know, because you just don't know what they're going through. And because chemo is hard, you know, the first one, you know, it's hard. The first one, it's a piece of cake, but after that, each one gets harder and harder and it takes a toll, and not just physically, mentally. It drives you mentally. It just wears you completely out. But you have got to know, you know, that, okay, I'm going to get through this. God brought this to me. He's going to bring me through it. Yeah. And like I said, some people heal on the other side. We understand that. But just know that, you know, get your mammograms. You know, don't let people tell you what you should or should not do. And there are some people that say, well, I'm just not going to do it, you know. Well, okay, if you don't do it for yourself, do it for the ones that love you. You know, do it for them.
Exactly.
If you have grandchildren, you know, do it for them. You know, because, I did it for me, but I also did it for the author because I want to be around for my grandchildren. I want to be in every part of their life. I want to see when they grow up. I want to see when they make mistakes. I want to see when they become stars, everything. I want to be around to see that. And I ask God, you know, to give me life, to give me long life so I can see that, not just for them, but also for me, so I could be a testimony to someone else. When people see me, a lot of women, you know, I said, it's okay not to have breasts, you know. That does not define you. That's why whenever we have pageants and we have the bra part of the pageant, I don't wear a bra. I show my breasts that I have no breasts. I show my chest.
That's
because I love pearls, and my theme is I rock the pearls without the girls. You know,
I know. I rock the pearls without the girls. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to go in been on a comment that I see from Yolanda. After breast cancer, your life completely changes. The simple things sometimes become hard. Something as simple as making up your bed or combing your hair takes a lot of energy. Wow. That is
It does.
But not to the degree that you all had it. But I do know the effects of it and infusion and all of that, because I go to the cancer center myself for two other autoimmune disorders. So I tell people, I love what you said about one thing. Another thing you said is sometimes people don't want to hear your opinion. They just need a listening ear.
Right.
They just need a ear. They don't need your opinion. And just like you told your daughter, you don't need a doctor because you already have one. You just need your daughter. And I think people need to be more conscious of that. You know, sometimes people be trying to help and don't realize they're hindering the situation. But sometimes just be quiet. And it really, really makes a difference. How important is your attitude as a survivor? Like when you were going through, how important was your attitude in getting through? Because I've seen some different situations, and I pay attention to people's attitude about it. How important is attitude?
My attitude determines my altitude.
Mm.
Because, yes, it did. You know, I could not go as high as I did if I didn't have the attitude to do that, you know. Because, like I said, I didn't have pity parties, you know. I mean, I've had some moments, you know, but just sit around and just feel sorry. I never did that because that's not my makeup, you know. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that because what's that going to do for me? Nothing. So I didn't sit around feeling sorry for myself, you know. I said, okay, you know, like Yolanda said, you know, I could clean my house in a day or two. Not now. It takes almost a week. I mean, try sweeping the floor. It just takes so much out of you. And even after 5 years, it still takes me a while to do stuff that I need to get done. But you know what? If it gets done, fine. If it doesn't, it's still fine.
There you go.
You know? That's just the way it is, you know. That's just the way it is now, plain and simple. And a lot of times I remember people say, well, we like to hide illness. No, you don't hide illness. We need time to digest what we've been told. And people, it's not that we're trying to, you know, she didn't tell me. She didn't tell me, well, maybe you didn't need to know that. But the fact is, you know, if a person wants you to know something, they'll tell you. But it's not that we're hiding anything. Because once you get a diagnosis of breast cancer or any kind of cancer, it's just like it almost paralyzes you. Like, what? This just can't be happening to me. You know what? And the first thing you think about is, am I going to die? Because a long time ago, you know, before the technology, people died from breast cancer at alarming rates because, you know, we didn't have the treatments. First of all, you didn't know about that you had cancer until it was too late, because, you know, we didn't have access to mammograms. You know, well, not us, but you know. And so you read that black women died at an alarming rate, you know, than other races because of that. But now that you know, you know better, you do better. And some people still don't get mammograms because they feel like, well, I don't have to get that. But, okay, like I said, I mean, that's your choice. But, you know, when people don't hide illness, you know, they need time to digest, you know, what news that they've got, you know, how they're going to process it, how they're going to deal with it. You know, give them that space. And that's why the doctor tells you, you know, what I told you, you know, go home and think about it, you know, don't go to the internet, you know, just give yourself a chance to think about it, you know, whatever, and we're going to do this together, you know, and I could personally thank Dr. Beatty because she said, we're going to do this, you know, my opinion always mattered, you know, she always asked, you know, so what do you want to do? She put it out there and she told me, okay, this is what we're going to do. What do you want to do? Being that she was a doctor, her expertise, you know, was that. And so I trusted her. Now, when I was having my these seromas, you know, she's like, well, I've never seen this. And I thought to myself, well, I know good and well, I'm not the first person with breast cancer that you've not seen this. And I didn't tell her that, but, you know, I thought to myself, well, that was, you know, and maybe it was, you know, maybe that was the first one, you know, I didn't tell her that, but I thought to myself, well, being a surgeon, you've had to see this before. And then she was just draining it, and I mean, back 100 cc's would come out, you know. But it was almost like I had breasts all over again because that's how much it would fill up. And it was on one side, right. So.
Wow. So with that being said, you've said a lot. So now I want to get into wrapping this up because I told you this 50 minutes will go by really quick. But before I do need to recognize my sponsor. This show is sponsored by Paradise Cremation and Mortuary Services. This by Henry. He is the CEO and founder of Mr. Henry J. Middleton. He is actually going to be a guest on the show next month. I cannot wait. But he can be found at 463 Atlanta Street, and that's in Marietta, Georgia. So I have to make sure I give homage to my sponsor. He is awesome, and I'm looking forward to his testimony, having his testimony shared. I want to thank you for those who have shared the broadcast. I really appreciate it. As I mentioned before, I'm Fatina Kirkendall. I'm here with my special guest, Ms. Dee DeWitt. And we are talking about breast cancer, and just, I'll tell you, this is a phenomenal story. I cannot wait to get it back out and reel it, and because it's something that really needs to be heard and something that really needs to be told. So if you haven't shared it, please make sure you do. Or if you know somebody who's going through, you know, that's one of the things we're going to lead up into now, Ms. Dee. As someone who's going through, what nuggets of wisdom would you offer? First of all, early detection, the importance of it, and then what would you tell people who are looking at this broadcast right now?
Pay attention to the signs, listen to your body. If it doesn't feel right, do something about it, and just do not take no for an answer. If you need a second opinion, get one.
And now with that being said, once you get that diagnosis, you know, what nuggets of wisdom can you provide for those that may be thinking they may have it or who've just been diagnosed? What nugget of wisdom can you provide for them with that?
Okay, the first thing that you should do is, Lord, okay, if this is what it is, you brought this to me, so we're going to get through this together. You know, pray, and if you're a praying person, you know, because God will not bring the put nothing more on you than you can bear. So, you know, and like
right.
I said, you know, get you a good team of doctors, you know. Ask people who have been through it, you know, who are their doctors. If it's not your network, you know, see if it can be. But get you a good team of doctors, and above all else, get you a good support system because you're going to need it, and, you know, follow up with your doctors, and you know, let them, even though you know you don't do WebMD, don't do what is it called, YouTube doctors, that trust your doctors. And one of the things that I found out was developing a good rapport with your doctor makes a difference also. A good rapport with your doctor makes a big difference. You know, I mean, if you get a doctor, you know, that just, you know, that discounts your feeling or just come in there and act like, you know, you know, they're in a rush and you're not that important, then okay, it's okay to get another doctor, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, because if they treat you that carelessly and don't care about how you feel, well, then, you know, don't give them your service. You're not getting theirs.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, because I have good rapport with all of my doctors. I can call them up, you know, talk to them, ask them stuff. And so, and I try to keep it that way, you know. Sure, you have a good support system. That is so important to have a good support system.
Right. I see the support as I have the live going on. I see the support from family, your sister Trey. Live and direct, girl. Tatiana, I see you there, girl. I see you. Yolanda, you said, you know, you have her, you know, have her as well. I think I'm familiar with Yolanda Nero. I just want to thank those who are coming in. And I have a question for Yolanda Nero. I think you mentioned earlier, Ms. Dee, that she's a survivor as well. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, yes.
Ms. Yolanda,
yes,
my question to you is, what wisdom would you provide for those of us who are watching the show tonight? I would love to hear that from you as well. And any other one who's a survivor right now, I would love for you to just throw out in the chat, you know, to piggyback off of what Mr. D has given us, because that is the information you're giving us tonight is very valuable. And I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I commend you. I mean, you're my hero. You are definitely my hero. Because the fact that, one, you didn't just accept just anything from anyone, and that includes your doctor. You know, you gave, you went out there and stepped out and knew that something was wrong, and you were persistent. And consistency is the key to breakthrough. Consistency is the key to breakthrough. And as a result, you found out what was going on, the real deal. And let me ask you this. At any point did you feel that you had cancer when you were going through, you know, your symptoms?
Said again now?
At any point did you feel like you had cancer before you got diagnosed?
No. I had no,
okay.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even when
mm-hmm.
I was told by the doctor, you know, that breast cancer, itching was a sign of breast cancer, I still didn't. I'm like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Because and mm-hmm. one reason was because there's no history of cancer, breast cancer in my family. That's why, you know, if there was history of it on either side, then I said, okay, well, maybe that is. But there was no history of breast cancer on either of my mom or my dad's side, especially my dad's side that I know of. So that's why I know. I never thought, you know, that this could be cancer.
Interesting. And all the more reason why, you know, as women, especially African-American women, we have, and I'm guilty of it, I'll be the first one to tell you, that I want to ignore stuff. Like, oh, we'll push through it. But this shows you, and I'm a believer now, trust me. And hearing your testimony is why we cannot ignore the signs, because, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your body will let you know if something is not right.
Definitely.
Your body will.
Most definitely.
You know, at that point, we got to learn to understand that our body is talking, and then slow down and pay attention to it and do something about it. Thank you, Yolanda. I see it. Just her suggestion or nugget of wisdom is just live and enjoy life. Do not let nothing and no one stress you. Stress is no good and is a trigger for cancer. You must decide to live on purpose. Very true. Very true.
That's right.
You have anything? Mm-hmm. You know, that stress is something special, boy. Stress
is
special. And when you're going through some stuff, you know, dealing with autoimmune disorders myself, I noticed that when I started stressing about certain things, it was just breaking my body down. So I could, you know, I just say your relationship, for me, my relationship with God was very important. And I hear, from when I hear you talk, it was like with yours, you know, having that relationship, having that foundation is very, very important. Let's see. Yolanda says, after you battle cancer, you look at life completely different. You are grateful for
totally.
The second chance. They're grateful for the
totally.
Second chance in life. Yeah. What will be your last words of advice or nuggets of wisdom for someone who's listening right now?
Well, cancer, there is nothing normal. If people like to say, well, now that my cancer is over, I can go back to being normal. There is no such thing as that. You have to just take the roll with the punches. Whatever you have going on, you deal with that. You roll with that there, because there is nothing, no more normal. You're not going back to what you used to be, because it's gone. But you've got a second chance, you know, because God is the God of a second chance. You know, and if he gives you a second chance, then that's what you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So whatever state I find myself in, I will be content. So you like Paul.
Mm-hmm. What would you say that you've done with you're doing with your second chance?
I am living my life like it's golden. You know, I don't take nothing for granted anymore. I don't take people for granted. At work, you know, I used to let stuff stress me out at work, and I developed the attitude that if it doesn't affect my pay, it's not going to affect my day.
I know that's right.
that's what I do, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I tell you what, this has been one phenomenal interview here today. And trust me, I'm actually to come back. I'm just letting you know I'm going to tell you I'm going to have you come back. So I'll definitely let you know that because I know, and I usually do panels. So there's a panel I'm thinking about doing. I would like to include you and Miss Yolanda. I see you there. I would like to do a panel. I would love for you all to participate on that panel. So I'm very, very excited. As I've mentioned to you all before, for those who are just tuning in, my name is Pachina Kirkendall, and this is Chronicles of Our Favorite Woman, a phenomenal night, a phenomenal, 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 phenomenal night. I'm here with my special guest, Ms. Dee DeWeese, and she has laid it down tonight. And I love her transparency. I love, love, love transparency. I want to thank you, Ms. Yolanda, for tuning in and chiming in and also for sharing. And Ms. Mary, Ms. Mary Hall's statement was, what a blessing that you had your family to support and cover you. Your sister, Treggy, is that kind of friend. I fall her family because of, I'm not sure what she meant with that, but I guess I understand. I tell her family because of support she shared. I think I said that right. Thank you for sharing your story, Tatiana says, and you give them strength. And I tell you what, you give me strength too, honey. Yes, I commend you. I am in awe. Let me just say that. Anybody who can go through a second chance and come through it with the way that you, oh, I understand. You say you call her family. Me too, girl. Me too. Not just you. Me too. So Yolanda is saying, my advice I would give to someone going through cancer, keep the faith and trust in God. Be proactive in your health and definitely learn to listen to your body. Cancer may have started the fight, but with God, you can win. Wow. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, we want to talk it right there, Ms. D.
That again?
Oh, I just said Yolanda. She said, my advice is to give someone who's going through cancer, keep the faith and trust in God. Be proactive in your health and definitely learn to listen to your body. Cancer may have started the fight, but with God, you can win.
Yes, because, I mean, it's just a chapter in your life. You know, it's not the book. It's just a chapter. Not the whole story. Mm-hmm. It's just a chapter, and you go through it, you flip the pages. And you go on, and you encourage anybody who comes along, if they have cancer and they share it with you or they don't share it, you know, but just trying to listen to people. You know, if they don't want to talk about it, just, you know, don't talk about it, you know. Don't be about it. Just stay. Just be a friend. If they need a friend, just they need a sister to be a sister. But whatever you do, you know, to thine own self be true. To your own self be true. You know, ask God, you know, to go with you, and he will, because if he brings it to you, he'll bring you through it. Because that's what he did for me, and that's what I thank God. I thank God for choosing me for this journey, because I know my sister could not do it. We all know what our strengths and weaknesses are, and I know that I was the one chosen for this because I was the one that could handle it, do it, and I could show everybody and my family that if it comes to you, we can do it. We're here for each other no matter what.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I thank you all for tuning in tonight. I thank you all for chiming in. And as we wrap up, I want to say to you again, I can't, because your testimony is so powerful. I think what helps with the testimony is your genuineness. It's also your sincerity, and it's also your transparency. And that's what I love most about it. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, because you could have been doing anything else, but I thank you for coming in and talking to the platform tonight. And as I mentioned before, you and Ms. Yolanda, I want to get y'all on a panel, but I will be in touch with you all with that, so I really hope that you all will be interested in doing it. And let's see, Denise Douglas, I love listening to my warrior friend, Dee, so strong. That she is. She is very, very strong. So with that being said, I will see you all next Sunday. This is Fatina Kirkendall, our Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Thank you, Ms. Dee DeLeese, for coming on tonight. I really appreciate you dropping those nuggets tonight. I also want to invite you to come back next weekend. We will have another exciting episode. Like I said, if you know someone who's old, you know, who can use this, please share it on their platform, and I'll be up. I will also put the information out for the assistants after the show is over, or you end of the night, if not first thing in the morning. I want to thank you for tuning in. Remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.